Shemueto world. Today's daf in Mesechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Dalet. And we're right up. Last thing we talked about, remember, were the two different limudim that Reish Lakish had made from the same makor. And we were to understand yesterday how it is that you can use the same pasuk to tell me an iser, which is an iser lav, an azor, about negia by Basar Kodesh, and it should also be the iser of actually eating the Basar Kodesh. So, I mean, which one is it? So Reish Lakish, remember, said you can learn out both things, that if you eat it, then the meaning has to be over here because of its comparison to Bignichtas Lebichtash. It has to be an Isser Chorus. And if it's an Isser Chorus, it's got to be referring to Ochel, even though it says Yiga. On the other hand, a strange use of the word Negia to describe Achila also teaches us that there is an Isser Lav for the Negia, even though there's no way to be Chayev Chorus ever for Negia. That was the last thing that we learned. The problem is today, it turns out that Reish Lakish uses this pasuk for yet another thing. How does he do that? Vakatimi boile. We know that Reish Lakish learns out of this pasuk a din of Tameh, she'achal b'sar kodesh, lifnei zrika. So that if you eat b'sar kodesh and the person is Tameh, that is a chiyuv of koras. But suppose you eat b'sar kodesh before it is ro'i to be eaten by a person who's tahor, then it's not an Isser Chorus. However, Alibad Reish Lakish, it is an Isser Lav, which he learns out from the same pasuk again, B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga. Well, how in the world could he use the same pasuk for that if we already had both the yukim from that pasuk before? Take a look at this, the Itmar. Here's where Reish Lakish said that. Tamei shachal b'sar kodesh lifnei zrika. Reish Lakish omer loka. So even though the dam was not yet thrown, which means that even if everything else is kosher, it's not ready for an adam tahar to be able to eat it. And since the Torah compares kol tahar yochal basar, which is followed by the iser of someone who is tamei betumas haguf etumato alav v'nichrata, it means that only a person, the type who eats the type of meat that would have been called tahor yochal kodesh, is going to be chayiv on the v'nichrata if he eats something that while he's tamei. But if that meat anyway wasn't ro'i to be eaten by an ish tahor, then he's not chayiv koras on eating it as an ish tamei. Nonetheless, Reish Lakish holds there is an iser Azora, which is a lav, and he'd get malchus, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, well, where would he get malchus from? He's not included. It says, kol tahor yochal basar. This is not, where's that new iser come from? So Reish Lakish says he's loka because it says, b'chol kodesh lo tiga. This again is referring to the Yoledet, and over here it's talking about while she is still Timea after the Leda. And it says she's not allowed to touch, which we learned is not allowed to touch, literally, as an Isser Lav, and she's not allowed to eat as an Isser Karas. So now we're saying, since it says, b'chol kodesh lo tiga, any kodesh at all, that would mean even kodesh lifnei zrika. So lo shana lifnei zrika, and lo shana la'achar zrika. Either way, you get malchus. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, eino loka, because we learned before. What is the whole mekor of the Isser? Remember, Rabbi Yochanan learned it from the Gzeirah Shava of Tumato, Tumato. It says Tumato by the Isser of Knisa Lemigdash, and it says Tumato over here with the din of Achila, or Tumato Bo. And therefore, that's the mekor of the Isser Azorah, that just like here it says there was an Azorah, there too there was an Azorah. But he doesn't learn it out from the pasuk of that Reish Lakish learns it out from. And since over there, the Lashon of Tumatobo, Tumato Alav, is Bedavka talking about a case where it is La'achar Zrika, because over there it says Kol Tahor Yochal Basar by the Din of Kodesh, Shlomim, only somebody who is able to eat that basar, if he were tahar, then you're chayav on that basar, but that means it's only after zrika. And therefore, there is simply no mocker for telling me that you be Chaya Malkus if there is no Gezerah Shav of Tumato Tumato. Therefore, he says, look, there's no way. The whole Gezerah Shava was only speaking in the Pasuk, specifically Liachar Zrika. Anyway, but now we've got three things that Rish Lakish is learning from this Pasuk. How do we explain three separate limudim? Well, it's very simple. I mean, look, if it was only referring to the din of Negia, or it was referring to the din of Achila, so it could have said, Bekodesh, lo tigah. Why is it Bechol Kodesh? So that Bechol Kodesh adds yet an expansion, any Kodesh whatsoever, whether it was Lifnei Zrika, or whether it was La'achar Zrika. Because of that, we learn both of these din, which means, essentially, all three Limudim, we can derive a little bit of Rish Lakish from here. Anyway, getting back to that machlokas. So let me understand that a little bit better. Gufa. So you said that according to Reish Lakish, Tomei she'achal b'sar kodesh lifnei zrika, even though it wasn't roi for kol tohor yochal kodesh, nonetheless, it would still be an iser lav because of b'chol kodesh lo tiga, which of course isn't a completely different, that's benogea, the din of the Oledet, and these things were Nogea in Vayikra, the halachas of the Akravas HaKorba. But the point is that it says here, Bechol Kodesh. And therefore, okay, must be that the same pasuk that asers the Yisra Achila and that asers the Yisra Negia, asers also the Achila with a lav, not with Kores, but asers the Achila Lifnei Zrika. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eino Loka, that's what we said. So, Amar Abaye, let me explain this machlokas a little bit more clearly. This machlokas is a reference to an individual who is tame, and he is eating basar before Zrika that was tar. But if somebody is eating basar, which is tame, so then, for sure, it makes no difference whether it was roi or not roi. Everybody would agree that you get malchus over there, because the pasuk says v'ferish v'habasar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel ba'esh yisaref. And dig this, then it repeats. This is very important to recognize. The pasuk throws in something. It's completely non-grammatical and isn't necessary. Let me read again that pasuk in its entirety. V'habasar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel ba'esh yisaref v'habasar kol tohor yochal basar. Now what is that? So, okay. So we said over there, v'habasar, that appears in that posseg, and then it says that it has to be the kol tahor yochal basar. So that idea includes the fact that he would be chayiv malchus even if the person is tahor, but the meat is tummy, and we'll prove it. The Omar Kra, look, we learned, actually, in the Bright about this pasuk. So it says in the pasuk, v'habasar, and what is that extra v'habasar, koto yochal basar? It said v'habasar, that's how the pasuk opened. That is coming to add a concept of the expanded definition of basar when it comes to eating something which is tummy. And incredibly, it includes something that is a Gavi concept of Chibat HaKodesh. So Chibat HaKodesh means something that has that additional special value that means so much to us. It's Choviv to us. That Chiba of Kodesh makes it so special that even though it's not a foodstuff, it is regarded with the same level of connectedness to a human being that a foodstuff is regarded with. Now, remember that the idea of tuma is something that is associated intimately with Adam. If it's something that is not associated with Adam, it is impossible for it to have tuma. That comes out, by the way, very much in this week's Parsha. I mean, if you think about it, the only issues that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makbid on, we keep looking at, were those things that had to do with Adam. And that's why we were saying, look, if Adam is Mekukal, so then the world becomes so on and so forth. But there's certainly no such concept as a world without any das in it. And remember that the whole Seder Tyrus is called da'as, specifically, right? So, okay. But that means food for an Adam is tameh. And it also means that whatever an Adam would feel very intimate with, and that's called chiba, right? Chiba is love. So that idea of kodesh makes it so valuable in a human's eye that it's the equivalent of food because he has an intimate connection to it. And therefore, the extra word vehabasar teaches me that halacha, that basar does not have to be real basar. By the way, you'll notice that basar is the key word in that entire discussion here in Bereshit, right? And in the beginning, and it's all about basar. And the idea over here is that we're expanding the definition of basar to include anything that is going to be brought on the Mizbeach, even though it's completely and totally inedible. For instance, wood. You're putting on the Mizbeach wood in order to burn on the Mizbeach. We actually have, surprisingly, a korban that consists of wood. Not just the wood that burns korbanos, but that's the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim, which is something that needs to be put onto the Mizbeach as a korban. That's called the Korban HaEitzim. And so, Eitzim and Levona, which is frankincense, certainly not edible, nonetheless are Mekabel Tumah because of Chibas HaKodesh. And if they are Tameh, despite the fact that they're Lav B'nei Achilaninu, Afilu Achi Rabinu B'kro, the Pasuk includes them in this Pasuk that's telling me that cannot be eaten if the person is going to eat that basar kodesh, which is tameh. It includes eating a piece of wood. That's crazy. Which is tameh if that was wood that was meant for the mizbeach. So I ask you, says Abai, I mean, if we're including things that aren't even edible at all, obviously we don't need the zrika before to be matir the basar because they're not, it's not less than a piece of wood, is it? So you see that I'm correct in saying that when it comes to the chiv of eating the tumas basar, over there it doesn't have to be in any way ra'ui. Whereas Rava says, no, actually, you're right that the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan actually is only talking about the tuma of the individual who eats meat that is tahar, and now it's meat that's not roi to be eaten because it's before zrika. But when it comes to Tumas Basar, you're right, they don't argue. But I say the opposite of what you say. I say everybody agrees you're not loka. Not that you are loka, because there's no pasuk to give him alkas. What's the svara? Well, because, remember, even the loka rinande, and this, again, is like Rabbi Yochanan, we don't have that pasuk, v'tumato alav v'nichrita. You cannot read that because that pasuk of a tumato alav, v'nichrata, is specifically about the basar of shlamim after zrika. And it says if you eat that v'tumato alav, v'nichrata. So if that pasuk cannot apply, then the first pasuk, ha-basar shi'iga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel, that pasuk that follows it, also cannot apply. So when the Torah puts those two psukim directly, one after the other, it means that they are interdependent. The first pasuk says a tahar is not allowed to eat something that's tameh. And the next pasuk says that if a tameh v'tumato alav, there's also a chi of koras. So that's a hekesh. And therefore, both of them, according to Rava, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree that there can't be a chi of malchus. Wait a minute. Didn't Abaye just say that since it says v'habasar, that second v'habasar, which includes even etzim v'levona, which are clearly not edible, and nonetheless it says that there is a chi of a malchus. So now how can we now say that according to Rava, that no, actually, you could not possibly have been chayev for things like be prior to zrika basar? That's talking about the Lavona and the Eitzim. It's talking about after they became Kodesh B'Kedushas HaGuf. So let's say we went ahead and we took this Eitzim off of the Mizbeach with the specific shovel that was used for the actual lifting up of the ashes for the Truma from the Mizbeach. Trumas Hadeshen, that's a klishores. And a klishores gives a kedusha to any physical object that enters it that is roy for the Mizbeach. Once it has kedushas kli, and the lavona it's talking about, that this was lavona that had been placed inside of the special containers, which were called bezichin, remember? They were the bezichin on the shulchan of the lechem aponim. And that is also a klishores, and it's mekadesh lelavona kedushas haguf. And this is another brand new Gavi concept coming up. They're coming left and right here, flying at us in this Masechet. It's like, boom, wow. Every day there's like something new, and it's a very mind-expanding Masechet. And this is the idea that when you have something that was Kodesh Bekli, it's the equivalent, believe it or not, of Korvu Matirav, meaning that it's the equivalent of Li'achar Zrika. Because we have the Mishnah that defines this new Gavi rule. This is a Mishnah Me'iwa. Kol she yeshlo matirin. If you're talking about an object that has a matir, so there would be dam that would be matir, right? You're talking about something that you'd be able to do zrika on. So then you're only going to be chayiv eating it betuma if the matir was brought. And that was your problem. So then, how could we be talking? There is no matir for the levina, and there's no matir for the eitzim. That was your kasha, right? Well, read the rest of the Mishnah. The rest of the rule is that kol she'ein lo matiri, such as exactly this case, the levona and the wood, there is no matir for that. The equivalent, therefore, of making it ro'oi is the moment that it becomes Kodesh by being put into klishores. Ah, so that's what that pasuk is talking about. If the eitz was inside of a machate that was Kodesh as a klishores, and the levona was inside of the bezich, which is a klishores, then it's the equivalent of la'achar zrika. But over here, you're talking about meat that does have matirin, and you're talking about a case where the matirin were never brought. Well, then the din is, if the matirin were never brought, there is no way to be mechayev someone on it. Itamar. Okay, here's another machlokas, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Somebody puts up onto the Mizbeach the evorim of a behemat me'ah, agape Mizbeach. And right now we mean literally a behemat teme'ah. So he puts a camel on the Mizbeach. Reish Lakish says that act is actually a chiev of malchus, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says no, there is no chiev for doing that. Reish Lakish says you're loka, because the Torah gave a very clear-cut description of what things you can put on the mizbeach. Daber al bnei Yisrael v'amart aleihem adam ki akrivnikem korban lashem min habema min habakar umin hatzon. That's very clear. The only thing that you can bring up is bokor vitzon. The bokor vitzon are kosher animals, obviously. And what that implies is this is what you can bring up, but not anything else. And that would be a lav, but it's only a lav by implication from an asay. This is what to bring, which implies camels are not what to bring. So, according to Reish Lakish, in this version of the Machlokas, a lav haba mechal haseh is a real lav, and you would get malchus for it. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, not true, there's no malchus, because a lav haba mechal haseh is prohibited, but you can't get malchus on it, because essentially, there was no azara, and ein lokin, another Gavi rule, ela imkein mazirin. Where does it say, don't do it? It just implies, don't do it. Asks the Gemara against Reish Lakish, the Braita says, beferish, about the, like, one of the most famous cases of where we have a lav haba mechal haseh, and that is, well, can you eat people or stuff like that? So, and we've got this, koma freset parsa, Vishosat Shesa Prasod Maalad Gera Babehima Otato Chelu. Here's what you're allowed to eat. Ota, it, and not something else. So again, so it has to be the split hooves, and it has to be doubled, and so on, right? So that means this you may eat, but not a behemah tameya. That is a lav haba michlal asay. The problem is that then the braita continues to point out, and how do I know that you are also chayev malchus? Because the next pasuk says that this is what you're not allowed to eat. That's zod lo tochlu. So obviously it wasn't enough for us to know the implication that you can't eat it. You had to have an extra pasuk to tell me, and don't you eat this. I know that. You just told me only eat this. I understand. But you need to hear don't eat this in order to be chayav malchus. So that clearly says that without that extra pasuk, which is the azara, the implication of the lav in the asay is not enough to give you malchus. So how could Reish Lakish possibly claim that on his own shita, that we don't have any malker for this shita, that a lav haba michlal asay is actually chayav malchus? It's unheard of. Okay, says Gemara, then there must be a mistake. I'll tell you what was really the machlokes. It was misquoted over here. The machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan was about this. The Avrei Behemah Tameah, if we're talking about actual camel, then for sure, there's nothing to discuss. Reish Lakish agrees that there's not a chiyuv of malchus because it's only a violation of a lav haba michlal asay, which has the din of an asay, and not of a lav. But what they were arguing about is if somebody brings a kosher animal, but it's a chaya, right? So let's say he brings a deer, all right? Delicious meat, kosher meat, venison, brings it up on the Mizbeach. And the machlokas was like this. Ki pligin is b'chay. V'achiyitna. Rabbi Yochanan says you're not allowed to do that. Now, you're not going to be chay malchus, but you're not allowed to do it. Why not? Because you're being over on a mitzvah asay. Because it said in the pasuk that we quoted before, that if you're going to bring a korban, it's min hatzon, or min habakar, or min hatzon. It said that beferish. So that means, and not a chaya. Whereas Reish Lakish says, no, you're not over on anything. Rabbi Yochanan says, let me explain it to you. Rabbi Yochanan says, you are over on asay. Because since it said beferish, min habakar, min hatzon, it's telling you that only those domesticated animals, bakar and so on. So that includes bovines, sheep, goats, and that's it. But not something that's a chaya. And that is over on, not on a lav, but it's over on an asay. Reish Lakish says, no, you didn't do anything wrong. All that pasuk says, min habakar min hatzon, is that is a mitzvah to do. But if you want to bring something else that I'm not giving you a mitzvah to do, and it's not what it is that the Torah is mitzvah you, it doesn't mean you can't bring it, and there's no iser in bringing it. So Rava asked against Reish Lakish from this braita, Ilu ne'emar korban la'ashem behimah, if the Torah had only introduced the korbanos, and it would have said, without talking about min habehimah, I'm sorry, min ha-bakar min ha-tzon. It would have just said, Adam ki akriv behima la-Hashem, and it's just behima. So I would have thought that includes chaya. Why? Because always the word behima includes chaya. I'll prove it to you. Take a look at the pasuk that talks about the animals that are kosher. So what does it say over there? Zot ha-behima she-tochelu. The following are the behima that you can eat. Shor, Sech, Savim, Seizim, so far so good. But then it says Ayal, Vitzvi, so what the heck? Antelope? Deer? Like, what in the world? But those are not behemoth. So you see that the word behemah includes chaya clearly from there. So suppose it would just have said behemah by the korbanos. I would have said, okay, so then you can bring the Ayal and the Tzvi, right? Because that's what behemah includes elsewhere. That's why here in Vayikra, when it's coming to tell me what animals you could bring as a korban, it specifies davka, Talmud Lomar, Boker Vitzon. That means I'm telling you, man, Boker Vitzon amarte lecha velo chaya. Only Boker Vitzon, nothing else. Continues the Brisa, in direct contradiction to Rish Lakish, Yocholo Yavi, you might think that this means lechatchila, don't bring it. But if you brought it, that's fine. The imevi kasher. You know what that would be like? Olamaze domet. Would be reading the pasuk like this. Here's a Talmud. His Rebbe says, bring me some wheat. So the Talmud brings him wheat and barley. All right. I mean, did he do anything wrong? He's not ma'avir al-dvarav. Is he just at it? Mosif al-dvarav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, bring me bokar vitzon. And you bring bokar vitzon and tzvi. Is that being over on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said? No, you're just adding. So you would have thought the same thing is true over here. That's why the Torah repeats Boker Vitzon in the context of Im Ola Korbano Min HaBakar, and then it says V'im Min HaTzon Korbano Min HaKsavim, to repeat Boker Vitzon again. And remember that the rule is, if ever you have a repeat in the dinim of kachim, then it's gufa coming to tell me this is not a suggestion. It's not lemitzvah. It's a hakpada. I want it this way and only this way. And therefore, since it says bakar v'tzon amarti lecha v'lo chaya, so then the correct metaphor would be lemazedome, a Talmud whose Rebbe says, do not bring me anything but chitim. And he goes in and he brings chitim v'seorim. That's not being extra special nice. That's being a chutzpanyak and telling me, I don't care what you want, I'll bring you what I want. So then it would be kimavir al devarav, and it would be posel. Anyway, this shows from the Braita that clearly Reish Lakish is wrong. You cannot bring a chaya up and say that it would be kosher to Yufta. You're absolutely right. Reish Lakish is here canceled. Now, let's take a look at the next piece of our Mishnah. The Mishnah began, remember, with kol ha-psulim sheshachatu. So, shchita is kosher with psulim, and the Mishnah therefore says, and if that's the case, if the shchita is kosher with any posel, with a zar and so on, that would mean that they can also be mefagel. So, if they would have a machsheves pigo, then chutz hazmano, chutz bekomo, it would actually be enough to make that carbon possible, or to be b'chayiv you chorus in the event of a chutz hazmano. And then it goes on to say, but what if one of the psulim were mekabel the dam? So what about there? Well, they're completely possible for kabbalah. Huh? And then it says, but if there's still dam hanefesh that is available, which is now spurting out of the neck, so then the kosher should go Yachzer kosher, and be makabel again and do the Aveda, which means that what was done did not ruin anything else. It's as if it weren't done at all. Now, Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, this is all about Kabbalah, but let's imagine a case where an Adam Posel actually was Zorek the Dam. If he's Zorek the Dam, does that mess up the remaining Dam? So that, remember, we have three levels when we have to consider what to do with dam. We have the actual dam, which is what we do the zrika with. We have the shirayim of that dam. The shirayim of the dam is what's left over after we put the dam onto the correct place on the mizbeach. And then we have shirayim. The shirayim are poured out on the yisod, right? So that's called shvichat shirayim. They're all the shiyari hadam. And then we have dam, which is completely possible, and that's called dochui, where it is no longer usable at all for the mizbeach. And then that dam actually is poured out in what's called the amma. The amma was an open pipe that went through the azara that had water continuously flowing in it, and it was washed out by putting it into the amma. So, the question over here is, suppose one of these psulim, I understand that Kabbalah, okay, you just redo it. Holocha. I understand you just redo it. But if you actually put the dam on the Mizbeach, did that make the rest of the dam Shirayim? If it made it Shirayim, then you cannot use it for the actual Zrika, and it is poured really only as Shvicha. And anything else is completely useless. And that, you just put it into the Amma, and then it's actually just flows out. They used to sell that for, and take money for it. They used to sell it for fertilizer, actually. Anyway, so here the question is the Zrika, maybe Zrika is good enough to create the din of used up blood, so to speak. It's remnants. Or you could say that the Zrika of a pasul has no meaning whatsoever. It's just as if the blood was lost, was spilled out, whatever. So in that case, if there's blood that's left, go take the blood and redo it. So that was Reish Lakish's question. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, there's no such thing as anything pasul that could make Shirayim except for what? Pigel. Why? Because even though Pigel is possible, remember the incredible Yesod that we've met a number of times. Kehartzaat kasher, kach hartzaat pasul. There is a concept of ritzui. If the dam was not merat, it was not used on the Mizbeach for purposes of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it's nothing. It doesn't do anything to the remaining dam because it was not meratzeh. But for Pigel, everything about Pigel, whether it's chutz l'zmano or chutz l'mekomo, is a completely kosher carbon in a different dimension. And therefore, it is, so to speak, meratzeh for Pigel. So in that dimension, it is necessary in order to make the carbon Pigel real Pigel. Otherwise, it's not Pigel. In which case, the blood is used. You may not like the way it's used, but it is used for Ritzui of Pigel. And therefore, that and only that would be a case, said Rabbi Yochanan, where something that is pasul could leave behind Shirayim because it's Meratzeh lepiguloi, Hoyel umeratzeh lepigulo. That was one way in which that was recorded. Rav Zvid said that's not what Reish Lakish asked. Reish Lakish actually asked something else. He wanted to know that if a Kohen has a cup of dam that was pasul, maybe this dam was yotze, right? So it had been taken out of the Azara and then brought back in. Can the kosher Kohen, throwing that pasul dam, could he actually wreck the remaining dam to make it Shirayim and therefore unusable or not? Because the Mishnah did not discuss that case. So Omar Lay, so Rabbi Yochanan was saying, I mean, why didn't you ask me the most reasonable question? The most reasonable question was the question that we first thought Reish Lakish had asked. But this is a different version. So Reish Lakish, instead of asking the most obvious question, when you read this Mishnah is about psulim. It's not about pasul dam, right? So if the Talmud comes to ask, okay, so what would be the din if? What should be the question? The Mishnah discusses if psulim are mahalik, or if psulim are mekabel is the case, right? But what if psulim were zorik? That's what you should have asked. Instead, you come up with this weird case, which isn't really related to the Mishnah, and you say, what would be if the dam were pasul and the kohen were kosher? What? Why? Obviously, you've made up your mind about the fundamental question, which follows from the Mishnah. So I don't know how you made up your mind, but psul, if the pasul himself, the pasul gufe, what do you think the din is? I mean, you didn't ask me, so you obviously made up your mind about the answer, okay? So why don't you tell me what your mind was? Because you clearly felt you didn't need my opinion. Well, whatever you made up your mind, why did you think it's different if the Kohen pasul does something, or if the Dhamma is possible. Make up your mind. If something possible, if a person who's possible could create a din of shirayim on the leftover blood, so why wouldn't the coast that's possible make shirayim? I don't understand why you're asking one particular version of this question. And if you hold that a puzzle does not create shirayim, so then a coast puzzle also doesn't create shirayim. Why is there a difference between the two? So I don't understand what you're asking. And because of that, we actually have another version. That is the third different approach we've had to what it was that this question was about. And oh, actually, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Medifti said that, look, everybody's getting confused over here. This was not the conversation with Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. This was a question that Abaye asked Rabbah. And the question that he asked was more complex, and it was a fascinating question. Remember, we have the actual dam, which is roy for the zrika. We have the shiore adam, where if the dam is used, then the remainders of that dam are meant to be poured out on the yesod. That's called shvicha shirayim. And then we have dam, which is no longer usable, which is dochui, and that is poured out in the ama, which is the drain that was running through the azara, where everything that was possible just swept into that drain, and then they would allow the water to just sweep it away. So in this version, Abaye asks Rabbah, suppose you are mekabel the dam in two separate kosot. So you took one mizrak, that mizrak got filled up right away. You took another mizrak, and you filled up the other mizrak. So now you've got two kosot, both of which have dam hanefesh, and you'd be able to use either one. You used one, and you didn't use the other. What happens to the blood in the other cup? Does that create a matzav of shirayin in the other cup? If it's shirayin, then it's poured out on the yesod. But does it make it dochui? Because since this was blood that was roy to be put bezrika on the mizbeach, and it wasn't, then that is a rejection of that dam. Rejection is called dichoy. Dichoy means push something away. And once something has been pushed away, either purposefully or by an event that happens that makes it unusable, and it becomes nitre, and you can't use it even for shirayim. You could only not use it, you could only pour it out. So what do? Do we actually put it on the mizbeach, on the yesod, or do we throw it out with the amma? So Rabbah said to Abaye, well, the truth is, that question is a very meaningful question because it's a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon and the Chachonim. Look at this braita, and you will see a fascinating thing. In the Chatat that was talking about the Chatat HaNasi, now, that was the pasuk that was referring. Remember that we have all of these different chataot, and we have the chatas of the Kohen Mashuach, and then we have the chatas of the Parhelam Dover Shel Tzibur, and then we have the chatas of the Nasi, which is a soyer, which is brought b'chutz. I'm sorry I'm reviewing this again, but I told you, I take every advantage of a situation just to become more and more familiar and just feel completely relaxed about all of the structure of these inyanim, because this is a lot of the new stuff. It takes time till it just gets into your blood, like the blood that's about to be thrown out on that mizbeach. So let's get it into your blood. Now, if we're talking about the Soyer Nasi, and it says over there, in the Soyer Nasi, so it says, Ve'et damo yishpocho yesod mizbeach. So, okay, that is referring to that dam that is left, is poured out, but doesn't say kol damo. Now then, when it gets to the chatat of a yochid, which was number four and five, because we had two variations of that chatat. One was the keves, and one was the ayah. The keves is different because of the aliyah. And then, as we learned before, there is no din of an aliyah. Who knows what the aliyah is? Let me see, somebody. Yes, sir. Right, the fat tail, exactly. So the keves has that fat tail that's a very valuable piece. And there, surprisingly, it says, et kol dama yishpoch, throw all of the dam out. Now, why, when we were talking about the soyer nasi, does it say dama yishpoch, and in the yachid, it says kol dama yishpoch? Ah, well, says the Braita. This teaches us about an interesting case. You remember that the chatas is the korban which is put on the mizbeach with your finger. And it's put on four separate times, because it's put on the karnota mizbeach, as opposed to the other dan, which is done bezrika, and it's done with a zrika, which is called shnayim sheim arba. It's put on the two diagonals, which covers the four sides of the mizbeach. So what if you actually took four separate cups, were mekabel adam of the chatas in four separate cups, and you went ahead, you took cup A for Karen A of the Mizbeach, cup B for Karen B of the Mizbeach, you used all of the cups. How do we know that all of the shirayim need to be put on the yesod of the Mizbeach? That's because it says by the Korban Yochi, ve'et kol dama yishpoch. Now, why does it say in the Sayer Nasi dama yishpoch? Ah, that's because you would have thought that if you took one of the four cups and you gave all of the arba matanot from that one, you might think that all four still need to be nishpoch in the yesod. Ah, that's why it says ve'et damo, the dam of that cup. Brilliant, right? So just by that word, we now understand there must be two completely different situations. One of them creates dichui, one of them creates shirayim. And come on, guys, I mean, it's amazing, right? It leaves you no choice but to recognize that there's got to be that difference. So brilliant. No further information is necessary, but those two letters, and out of that we learn the entire halacha of the difference between Dichui and Shirayim of Kosos. Tell me that's not marvelous. Does this not make your week? Anyway, fine. So that would tell us that they are thrown out through the Amo, which is the open pipe, and you can't put them on the Mizbeach. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, Minayin l'chatat shekibel dama b'arba kosod, v'natan arba matanot mikos echad shekulam nishpachim liyesod. I disagree. And I say, even if you gave all four matanot from one kos, and you had essentially pushed aside the usage of the others, nonetheless, they're all poured out on the Mizbeach, albeit not to use for Zerika, but they're poured out on the Yesod HaMizbeach, which is the Shvicha Shirayim, Talmud Lomar, ve'et kol dama yishpoch. Yeah, excuse me, but what about the other pasuk? You're not explaining the other pasuk. Ve'okti ve'et amo yishpoch. So how are you explaining that contradiction? Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon is ignoring that pasuk. Ah, Omer Vashi, that's talking about something else entirely. That's talking about Lemu'ute Shirayim Shabit Savara Behemah. That's coming to tell me that if there is still dam that's left, and it's in the neck of the animal, but it was never Mekubal, then that means you have turned your back on that dam. You never were Mekubal that dam. That is Dichui. You pushed it away and said, I don't want that dam. If you don't want that dam, it's not Shirayim. It is just Dachui. And that goes not on the Mizbeach, not for Shvicha Shirayim. That goes straight out the drain, which is called the Amma. The Amma is the drain in the Mizbeach. Okay. Now, you said in the Mishnah that you have all of these cases. You've got three cases where you just go back and redo something that was messed up. And now we can understand why we have introduced the following piece with the question of understanding the difference between Dichui and between Shirai. So here we've got three cases where you messed up, and the Mishnah says, well, it's okay, just go undo what you did, and then you can redo it. So one was Kohen Kosher, was Makabalit, he gave it to Apostle, and it says, okay, so then just give it back to the Kohen Kosher. And then it says, and if you were Makabal with your Yamin, and then you put it in your small, okay, just go back and put it back in your Yamin. And then we said, if he was a Mekabel, the Dominic Klishores, and he put it into a Klichol, okay, then go take it and put it back into a Klishores. I mean, it's all one idea. If you did the thing correctly, and then you actually put it in some inappropriate place, whether a person or a Kli or whatever, so then just go back and do it. Why do I need three variations on a theme? Seems to be exactly the same. It's not exactly the same, because tricha. Let's say I would have only known about that initial case. The Kohen Kosher hands it over to a Kohen Posel. So I would have said, look, maybe when it says in the Mishnah Posel, it doesn't mean any garden variety of Posel. It means a Kohen who's tummy. And maybe that's why it's kosher, because remember that the Kohen who's tummy has a particular makom where he's completely kosher, because he is roi for avodah of a carbon sibor. Remember that sibor, the carbon sibor is doicha tuma. So I would have said, maybe that's the case the Mishnah is referring to. But once you put it in your left hand, it's the left hand you can never use to be bekabel dam. So now you've put it in an inappropriate place and you've been doicha. You can't go back and use it. Therefore, no, even if it's put in small, as long as you put it back, it's good. Now, suppose I know the second case, which is the small. I would say, well, yes, but maybe that's because small has one place where it's kosher. And remember, that is on Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur, the Kohen's in a bit of a pickle. He has to carry in the burning coals in one hand for the Ketores, and the actual machta for the Ketores in his other hand, right? And it's hard for him to carry the coals, and what we, therefore, because of that, and he's doing everything, we told him, okay, carry the coals in your right hand, where you can support it, and even though it's hot and everything, and keep the lighter thing in your left hand, even though that's carrying the Ketores in your left hand. So that means that maybe that's why, since there is one place where there is carrying with small, so, okay, maybe because of that, even small is not considered to be a rejection of the Dan. But Kli Chol never is a Kli Chol kosher for the Kabbalah Sadan, ever. So maybe that's really overdoing it. And if you put it into a Kli Chol, then you're being doche the dime. So you'll say, okay, so then just tell us the case of the Kli Chol, right? And then I'll know that if even a Kli Chol is reusable by putting it into the Kli Kodesh, Koshke in these other cases, not necessarily. Because let's say it would have told you that last case. That's because, well, I mean, the Kli Chol is just missing the Kedusha. But if you would go ahead and be Mekadesh, that Kli Chol, this very same Kli Chol, is in your hand to be Mekadesh. So maybe that's why it's kosher, if you put it back into a Kli Kodesh. But those other cases, nothing you can do about it. You're not going to turn your left hand into a right hand, and a nun going into a Kohen. I mean, that's crazy. So maybe that would not be kosher. Therefore, by listing all of these cases, I now know all the variations. Now, the real question is here, why indeed is it not called a dichli? Because what you did, you took this dam that you were supposed to go ahead and be zorek on the mizbeach, right? And now you say, I'm putting it in my left hand. Hey, wait a minute. That's a rejection of the use of the dam. So why don't we view it as dichli? And same thing is true of any of the other things. I mean, if the point of dichui is that I treat something as if I no longer care, so then, okay, then you can't use it anymore. Even if you now attempt to reuse it, and you put it back into its appropriate setting, that's not going to change anything. And I just showed you that there certainly is a concept of dichui. Why isn't this dichui? Why can't I just undo it? Amalei Ravina Ravashi. Well, Rav Yirmiyah Midifte quoted Rava as saying, you know what? This Mishnah is clearly Hanan HaMitzri. And Hanan HaMitzri is the well-known Shita who doesn't believe in Dichot. And I'll show you that according to him, since there's no concept of Dichot, take a look at this Braita. Now, this is a little bit complicated. And the question is, we've got three opinions about Dichot in the sugya of the interrelationship between the Seir La'Azazel and the Seir La'Hashem. So remember that it's a complex thing. You need to do the goralot, right? You need to have these two Seirim. They need to be the same. You need to do the goralot. And then it says that the Seir, which is meant to be Ashalala Vagorala Azazel, Yeomad Chai Lifnei Hashem Lechaper. It has to be alive in order for me to be able to bring the Seir LaHashem. There needs to be a live Goral, finished Goral Azazel. What happens if it drops dead? So now, do you just bring another one? Well, it was Nitcha. The moment that it dropped dead, it was Nitcha, wasn't it? So how can you just bring another one? You're going to have to bring two, do the whole Goral over again, and start from the beginning. Now that's a machlokas. And we've talked about that machlokas, whether Baalei Chayim are nidochim. So therefore, if you're talking about an animal, the fact that the other animal died does not matche a living organism. So according to that, Shita, you do not have to start from the beginning. Okay, now, what about if you already had the dam of the Seir that we were going to bring in, and then the Azazel died after you already had dam? Now it's not a living organism. Now it's blood. Okay, so the second Shita says, well, then obviously you're going to start over again because it was Nitcha. But Hanana Mitzri says, even if the blood was in the kos, and you'll say, well, I mean, at least I need to bring a new two animals. No, you don't. Bring another animal to be the new Azazel and let that be paired up with the blood. What? But how can I do that? That blood was Nitcha. Clearly, Hanana Mitzri does not hold up the whole principle, this concept of Dihui. It's not called Nitcha. And therefore, he would say the same thing over here, and our Mishnah would be going according to him. If you don't hold of Dihui, so that even if you took the dam, you put it in your left hand, you put it in a klichol, I'm going to hang, whatever you did to it, you can't be Doche the dam, according to Hanana Mitzri. Ravashi says, no, it's not going according to Hanana Mitzri. Actually, it is a concept that has to do with the nature of Dihui, which is, Dihui, the literal meaning of Dihui, is to push it away, to reject it. It's an act of rejection. Well, anything that is your ability to change is not total rejection. You know, you can be angry at something or whatever, and then you bring it back. So it's really rejection. It's like a kid whose parent gets angry. They don't feel totally rejected. They understand, okay, they'll come back a little bit later, you know? So the same thing is over here. If it's biyado, if you could simply change it back the way it was, that's not really called dachui, even according to those who argue with Hanana Mitzri. And the main shita that argues with Hanana Mitzri is Rav Yehuda. And I want to show you, says Rav Shaya, that Rav Ashi is 100% correct. Because, look, who is the Mandi Omar? Who is the one who said over there that he holds totally of Dihui? That's Rabbi Yehuda. That was the story of the Seir HaMishtaleach that he just told you. And Rabbi Yehuda said over there, look, if the blood of the Seir actually spilled and the Mishtaleach is still around, then that Mishtaleach has got to be left to die. You've got to start all over again. And if the Mishtaleach died, you have to throw out the dam and start all over again. Okay, so then that is, wow, total dihui. If it's not ready to be used completely, even an accident happened. Nobody pushed it away, but it was unusable. So since he obviously says that the loss of one means the uselessness of the other, so he holds of dihui. And you know what? That same Rav Yehuda, who is the main pillar of the dihui idea, he holds that in a case where it's in your hands to undo the dihui, it's not called dihui. I'll show you. Shamina le diomakosha biyodo, lo have a dihui. And he, Gufa, says exactly what Rav Ashi says. Because take a look at this, the Tanya. This is, again, interesting concept, now that we've talked about the Amma. Every Pesach, Erev Pesach, when the Korban Pesach was brought, they plugged up the Amma. And nothing could run out of the Amma. So all of the blood from all of the millions of Karbonas that were being brought just didn't run off of the floor. They just kept rising and rising, and they were left on the floor. And Rabbi Yehuda says that, well, the reason they did that is because at the end of each group, there were three groups that brought the Korban Pesach, so they would bring a cup, one kos, and that kos would have had at least one molecule of all of the Korban Pesachs that were brought. And therefore, if some of the blood had spilled onto the floor, so this way you've got a molecule of that blood, you put it on the Mizbeach, that way you're machshir even a Korban Pesach that was wrecked by falling onto the floor. And he says, and then you just go and you treat it like a Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach only takes a zrika, one zrika, keneged hayesod. It doesn't have shnayim shein arba. It has not a shvicha, but what's called a zrika, keneged hayesod, which is all that we do with the dam of the Korban Pesach. So this way, that Pesach that the blood fell out would be kosher. How in the world would it be kosher? You couldn't use it while it was on the floor. Why isn't that dochui? Ah, because it's biyotcha to go to collect it off of the floor, and therefore it's not dochui. This is Rabbi Yehuda, for heaven's sakes. So that means that according to the shita of dichui, as long as it's in your hands, it is not considered to be a fatal dichui. Now, the question of, does that really make sense? I mean, there's so many problems with that. I mean, think about it. How are the Kohanim working there if they're walking in blood that's coming up to their ankles? Their begodim are going to be wrecked. There's going to be a chatzitza on the floor. And you don't even know whether that dam is kosher, because there might have been dam that had fallen directly from the neck that went, and dam that wasn't dam anefesh that got mixed with it. Oh my God, there's a million problems with this. Let's talk about those million problems tomorrow. Bezrat Hashem. And meanwhile, I'll be able to wish you Eliyahu Hanavim. Wishing you a wonderful, wonderful week and a wonderful approaching Rosh Chodesh. And hopefully we'll be able to learn tomorrow morning to do, I don't want to take anything for granted, but hopefully we'll be able to learn those billion questions tomorrow and find out they aren't really a million. And therefore we'll even be able to get through it tomorrow. Kol tov, everybody. Shavua tov u'mevorach. It's wonderful being with you, and I wish you only the best and besuras tovas, including the max. Kol tov.